is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute takes us immediately to Venezuela, the outlier in making summaries of the Americas because outside actors. The headline suggests there is movement, but it's movement that is not conducive to Venezuela coming back in from the cold. Instead, it's more likely more confrontation from Washington. U.S. ties renewal of easing of Venezuela oil sanctions to progress on elections. Professor, a very good evening to you. We need to summarize how we got to this point about progress on elections. The last we spoke of this, the opposition candidate winning the primary some months ago, Maria Corina Machado, was banned by the Supreme Court in Venezuela from participating in the election. Hardly progress is being made when you ban the opposition leader. At the same time, the election is set for July. What is it that the U.S. is looking for? Because the sanctions have a clock running to run out unless. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Well, the short recap on this drama is that you're following the Trump administration's attempt to bring democratic transition to Venezuela based on imposing sanctions and other forms of pressure. The Biden administration decided to try something new, which was in exchange for relatively ambiguous promises for a democratic election this year, they upfront eased sanctions. This was the famous Barbados Accords. But from the very beginning, the Maduro administration reneged or didn't comply with the commitments it had made to get out of those sanctions. So the big thing was not allowing the primary candidate, Maria Corina Machado, who was elected as the choice of the opposition by a 93% margin. She was not allowed to run, supposedly because of something in her past that had inability to run under Venezuelan law. Then happened is there was a scramble to get some alternative candidate in, and in the end, after her chosen alternative candidate Corina Yoris was not allowed to register, a substitute candidate Edmundo Gonzalez Urrutia was chosen for the Democratic Unity Platform. But the bottom line is it's really clear that the way that the Maduro regime has run this didn't in any way comply with the commitments under Barbados, and so the commitment than was when this this new allowing of Venezuela to sell and trade its oil, General License 44, expires, and it expires on April 18th. Where would the administration go from here? Would they completely go back to the strict sanctions that they had before? Would they reimpose a new regime of sanctions? They've already basically said they're not going to renew formal GL 44, but what's going to come after this is unclear. A key moment in this occurred this week, Tuesday. The new Western Hemisphere director for the U.S. National Security Council, Dan Erickson, who just took his position last week and who replaces outgoing young Juan Gonzalez, traveled to Mexico City to have a meeting, part of leading the U.S. team to talk with the Maduro team. And so that meeting is probably key to the U.S. administration figuring out specifically how it will proceed. And so the key moment, again, comes at the end here of this week, April 18th, when GL 44 expires. And so we'll probably have a busy week seeing how the U.S. decides to go forward in essentially managing pressure on a regime that has clearly violated the commitments that it made for a democratic transition under the Barbados Accords, moving towards these national elections on July 28th.
Professor, Caracas has not made a secret of its connection to Tehran these last months and years, and the Iranian attack on Israel obliged everybody to react quickly about the sovereignty question and the hands, invisible hands behind decision-making. I note that in the reporting, there were four countries in the Americas standing out that did not explicitly condemn Tehran. One of them was Venezuela. I'm going to focus on Venezuela here because the Maduro regime has exchanged products with Iran, has depended upon Iran for gasoline, vice versa, And also, there was always the suggestion of weaponry from Iran. Do you expect that posture to change now that Iran has been so roundly condemned by the United Nations, by many transnational organizations, but especially by the Europeans who heretofore have had occasion to exchange with Venezuela and not condemn Venezuela's conduct?
You make an excellent point, John, which is in addition to the diplomatic support that Maduro has given to Iran with its massive attack against Israel with the 300 missiles and drones, et cetera, and otherwise continuing acts against Israel in the region through surrogates like Hamas and Hezbollah. Venezuela specifically has been really the key point of entry for Iran's re-engagement with Latin America in ways that threaten the U.S. and the region, as well as other groups such as Hezbollah, as well as Venezuela serving as an entry point for Russia and China's re-engagement in the region. With respect to Venezuela, as you alluded to, it really started to become very apparent, especially in 2020, when in exchange for gold and cash, Iran helped Venezuela to get through some of its problems with its aging oil refinery complex, helping to repair some refineries, helping to give it dilutant that it needed to mix its oil with so it could sell that oil. But in addition to that, as you also alluded to, Iran has supplied Venezuela with weapons. It has co-developed some of the types of drones, including Mujahideen 6 drone that we see used elsewhere around the world through the Venezuelan industry, Cavim. It has actually supplied Venezuela with fast attack boats, not unlike what it uses to harass shipping in the Persian Gulf, including also missiles to go on those boats, and various types of training that would allow Venezuelan forces to do some of the types of paramilitary sabotage type of operations, including underwater demolitions that you see that Iran's Navy trains for. So in a number of different ways, really the Venezuela-Iran collaboration has been worrying. We also saw this, of course, in the use of Venezuela as the key entry point for not only Iran's religious paramilitary forces, the Quds forces, into the region, previously through the Convies airline run by Venezuela, and then Emtrasur, but also Hezbollah operatives, as well as the running of cultural centers and things like that, with those personnel often entering through Venezuela, getting Venezuelan passports and continuing throughout the region. And so Venezuela certainly continues to work with Iran, as I said, as well as with Russia and others in ways that, in my judgment, really raise profound questions for hemispheric security.
A corresponding inquiry, Professor, is that Maduro and Petro have they've not hidden their relationship and their mutual admiration. And the same for Maduro and Lula da Silva in Brasilia. Do you expect that to change? Or are we business as usual? There's nothing that Russia or China or Tehran can do that will change the mutual support that Maduro has enjoyed. There are other players, but the two big ones I've named.
Well, this appears that it will continue. Indeed, some of these leaders on the left may indeed double down on this, because their support for Maduro has more to do with a bond among the left than it does necessarily in recognizing the bad actions or criminal actions in many cases that Maduro does either at home or abroad. And so certainly what we've seen is that Petro's embrace of Maduro, both in terms of the commercial opening of the border and in helping to bring Maduro back politically into the region, Lula's actions in similar ways. Indeed, as we've seen with Lula in Brazil, that Lula's own politics of seeking to embrace Russia, or at least not act against Russia, has opened the door twice now for Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, to come to Brazil, but also more broadly to the region, including Venezuela. So the troubling thing really is that while the embrace of Maduro by Lula and Petro of Russia and Iran is not at the same level as Venezuela. That willingness to really keep an open door to Maduro in the region by those other leftist leaders really augments the problem that we have through these authoritarian populists, such as Nicolas Maduro, but also bears keeping in mind to mention, of course, also the Díaz-Canel regime in Cuba, as well as the Ortega regime in Nicaragua, and those open doors that are also presented for Russia and Iran in the region, with the support to those open doors from other sympathetic leftists like Petro in Colombia, like Lula in Brazil.
You remind me of the port of call for two Iranian warships at Rio in the beginning of 23. That stands out now, given the firing of missiles at Israel, our ally. Do you expect that not to be repeated, that Lula will be more cautious about welcoming Iran?
It does. That was an important and unprecedented move when last year the Lula regime permitted the Iranian warship Makran and to a certain degree its escort ship, the Dana, to approach and dock in Rio de Janeiro. Although it's not clear whether that type of explicit military visit will occur again, it does appear that Lula is trying to maintain a, so to speak, neutral posture. One of the concerns is that, as you know, John, we are on the verge of potential escalation in the Middle East, and thus far, Iran has been keeping a relatively low profile, aside from these relations with actors like Venezuela in Latin America. Hezbollah, which operates in the Triple Frontier area, which has a substantial presence in Rio de Janeiro and in other places throughout the region, has also been keeping a pretty low profile as primarily a money raiser and generator of criminal revenues rather than some of the terrorist activities that it did before. But the risk then becomes that if things escalate, especially between the United States and Iran directly in the Middle East, or certainly between Israel and Iran, we seem to be on the verge of happening right now, that could cause Iran and Hezbollah to take off the gloves to try to attack places like Latin America, like Argentina, like Paraguay, like various others.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. Another Venezuela story, this one in Chile. I'm John Battle.